Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Axolotls, the Little Dragons of the Lake, a learning podcast for kids.
All right, ready to dive in. Today it's the world of axolotls.
Oh yeah, the axolotls.
These creatures, they're like eternally youthful. Amphibians, right?
Yeah, amphibians.
And that smile. I mean, it can melt glaciers.
They are pretty cute.
And they can regenerate like it's nothing.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is.
But we're going deep today.
Okay, let's do it.
Deep into their genetics, behavior, the whole world they live in.
It's fascinating stuff.
So what's the deal with these guys? What makes them so special?
Well, they're often called the Mexican walking fish.
Okay, walking fish.
But they are full-fledged amphibians, despite that name.
Amphibians. Got it.
And get this, they have a genome that's even more complex than our own.
Wait, hold on. More complex than a human's?
Yep. More genetic information packed into those little bodies. It's incredible.
Wow, okay. That's wild.
It is. And all that complexity leads to some mind-blowing stuff. Like their looks, for starters.
Yeah, those feathery gills, right?
Exactly. Those external gills. Like something straight out of a fantasy novel.
They do. And then that permanent baby face. Super cute.
Oh, definitely. Cuteness overload.
But the regeneration thing, that's got to be the real headliner, right?
It is. I mean, regrowing a limb is one thing.
Right.
But we're talking about hearts, brains, even parts of their spinal cord.
Like superpower stuff.
It really is.
But doesn't all that rebuilding take a ton of energy? How do they even bounce back from something like that?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. They have this thing called a blastema.
Blastema?
It's basically like a group of super specialized stem cells.
Stem cells. Okay, so like the building blocks of life.
Right, exactly. And they gather at the site of an injury, ready to go to work.
Okay, so I'm picturing these stem cells.
Yeah.
Rushing in to save the day. But what makes the blastema so special? I mean, other animals heal too, right?
True, but most animals get scar tissue when they heal. Not the axolotl. Their blastema cells, they can actually turn into any type of tissue needed. Bone, muscle, nerves, you name it. And they even release these signaling molecules to kind of orchestrate the whole process.
So they're not just healing, they're rebuilding.
From the ground up, cell by cell.
That's why scientists are so fascinated by them.
Right?
Like unlocking the secrets of like perfect healing.
It is. There's so much potential there.
Okay, but let's zoom out a bit from the cells.
Okay.
And talk about their life. Like, in the wild. I know they call them Mexican walking fish, but you said they aren't actually fish.
Right. They're amphibians, but they spend their whole lives underwater.
So they're like full-time underwater dwellers.
Pretty much. They're actually quite chill, hanging out at the bottom of lakes. Mostly solitary creatures.
Oh, really? Just kind of chilling.
Yeah, but don't let that fool you. They've got a whole communication system going on down there.
Wait, really? So like secret underwater signals? What do they do?
Well, not exactly secret handshakes.
Okay.
But they use body language, chemical signals, even visual cues to communicate.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that. So they're more complex than they seem.
Much more. They can change their skin color, for example.
Oh, really? To like signal something?
Exactly. Or puff themselves up to look bigger.
Like a defense mechanism.
Exactly. And they can release pheromones into the water.
Pheromones, huh?
It's like their own little language.
Wow. So they've got like this whole underwater social scene happening.
Who could say that?
And I've heard they can even recognize their owners in captivity. It's crazy.
It is. They're fascinating creatures.
They are. Okay, so speaking of their world, where do we actually find these guys in the wild?
They're found in a very specific place, actually. The Xochimilco Lake Complex in southern Mexico City.
Xochimilco.
It's pretty unique.
I've seen pictures. It's like Venice, but with a lot more plants.
That's a good way to put it. It's this network of canals and floating gardens.
Sounds idyllic.
It is. A truly amazing ecosystem.
But there's got to be a butt coming, right?
Well, sadly, yes. This unique habitat is under a lot of pressure.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured.
Pollution, habitat loss, all sorts of challenges. Putting a real strain on the axolotl population.
So not so idyllic after all.
Unfortunately not. It's a tough situation.
Well, let's break down those challenges a bit. What's the biggest threat they face? What's the main problem?
It's a whole mix of environmental pressures, to be honest.
A mix, huh?
But pollution, that's definitely a major one.
Pollution, yeah.
Agricultural runoff, sewage, industrial waste. It all ends up in the water.
So basically, we're poisoning their home.
In a way, yes.
And I know axolotls are pretty sensitive.
Oh, they are.
What kind of impact does all that pollution actually have on them?
Well, take agricultural runoff, for example. All those chemicals, they can really mess with their system.
Okay, in what way?
Some pesticides mimic hormones, so that disrupts their growth, their reproduction.
Wow. So it's not just about them getting sick right away.
No, it's long-term damage.
Affecting their ability to survive, really.
Exactly. It's a slow chipping away at their chances.
That's pretty disheartening, especially knowing they were once revered by the Aztec.
Right. A creature so deeply rooted in Mexican culture.
And now facing these serious threats.
It is a bit ironic, isn't it?
It is. It makes you think about, like, the impact we have.
It does.
Okay, but pollution, that's just one piece of the puzzle, right?
Right. Habitat destruction is another big one.
Yeah, I bet. I can only imagine what urbanization is doing to their already limited habitat.
It's not good. Wetlands being drained for development.
Ah, the classic story.
It is. And the canals that are left, they become fragmented.
Oh, I see. So it's not just that they have less space, it's that the spaces are cut off from each other.
Exactly. Makes it harder for them to find mates, maintain their genetic diversity.
Double whammy.
Pretty much.
So we're polluting their water and squeezing them out of their homes.
That's the unfortunate reality.
It paints a pretty bleak picture. But I'm hoping there's some good news somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing to protect these incredible creatures? What are the solutions?
Well, there are some amazing conservation efforts out there. And we'll dive into all of that after a quick break.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be right back with more on the axolotl. And hopefully some good news about their future. So before the break, things were looking, well, pretty tough for axolotls.
Not the best situation.
Pollution, habitat loss, it's a lot to deal with.
It is.
Especially for these sensitive little guys.
Right.
But let's talk solutions. What's being done to actually help them? What are the most promising things happening right now?
Well, one key strategy is habitat restoration.
Habitat restoration. Okay, so like fixing up their home.
Exactly. Yeah. Giving Xochimilco a much-needed makeover.
Okay, I like that.
Cleaning up the polluted canals.
Right.
Getting rid of those invasive species that are crowding out the native plants.
Mm-hmm.
Basically creating safe havens for them.
Safe havens. I love that.
Yeah.
But Xochimilco, it's a pretty complex system, right? How do you even begin to, like, restore a place like that? Mm-hmm. It seems like a huge task.
It is a huge task. It's a multi-pronged. It takes a village, really.
I bet. So who's involved?
Scientists, for one. They're figuring out the best ways to remove pollutants and restore water quality.
Okay, so that's the science side of things.
Right. And then you have conservationists working with local communities.
Ah, so getting the community involved.
Exactly. Replanting native vegetation, creating those protected areas we talked about.
That's great. It sounds like a really collaborative effort.
It is. It's a massive undertaking. But there are some truly dedicated people working on it.
That's really good to hear. I mean, it's easy to get overwhelmed by, you know, how big the problem is.
Oh, yeah.
But knowing there are people out there fighting for these creatures, it gives me hope.
Yeah.
But habitat restoration, that's a long-term solution, right?
It is. It takes time.
What about more immediate things? Like, can captive breeding programs help? I mean, prevent their extinction?
Oh, absolutely. Captive breeding is super important.
Okay.
It's like
okay.
A safety net. Helps preserve genetic diversity.
Right. So it's like an insurance policy for the species.
Exactly. And it provides a source of healthy axolotls.
Yeah.
That could be reintroduced to the wild if things get really bad.
If it comes to that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But I imagine there are challenges with captive breeding too, right? I mean, can you really replicate their natural environment in a lab setting?
It's definitely not a perfect solution, creating those ideal conditions. For breeding, for raising them.
It can't be easy.
It's tricky. They need very specific water parameters, temperatures.
Yeah.
Even a certain amount of social interaction.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance. But zoos and research institutions, they're getting better at it all the time.
Well, that's good news. So we're learning as we go. Okay, but even with all these efforts, there's still that big elephant in the room, right?
Climate change.
Climate change, exactly. We haven't really talked about how that's impacting them. What are the effects?
Well, climate change adds another layer of complexity to the whole thing.
Of course it does.
Rising temperatures affect water levels, oxygen availability, even the timing of their breeding cycles gets thrown off.
Wow. So it's like messing with the whole delicate balance of their ecosystem.
Exactly. It's a real concern.
And we're seeing the effects of climate change everywhere, right?
We are. It's not just a future threat anymore. It's happening now.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to address that on top of everything else?
It's a massive challenge. But the solutions, they're all interconnected.
Okay, I see. So it's a holistic approach.
Right. Reducing greenhouse gases, promoting sustainable water practices, protecting wetlands, all of that contributes.
It's all connected.
It is. And it's not just about axolotls. It's about all species, the whole planet, really.
True. It's a reminder that what we do in one place can impact things miles away.
Okay, but let's talk about the public's role in all of this. I mean, most people listening have probably seen cute axolotl pictures online.
Oh, yeah. They're internet famous.
They are. But does that actually translate into, like, real action? Does it make a difference?
That's the big question, isn't it? Awareness is great, but it needs to lead to action. So it's not enough to just awe over the pictures. We need to actually do something.
Exactly. And that's where education comes in. We need to make sure people understand the threats.
Right. The bigger picture.
Right. And what they can do to help.
So what can we do? Like, as individuals, what are some things we can do to actually make a difference?
Oh, there's a lot. Supporting organizations that are working in Mexico.
Okay, so like donating?
Donating, yeah. Even just spreading the word. Educating others about the axolotl's plight. Every little bit helps.
So it's about raising awareness and putting our money where our mouth is.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm feeling a bit more empowered now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to feel helpless when the problem seems so huge.
It is.
But knowing there are things we can do, that makes a difference.
It does. Every action counts.
It does. Okay, but before we get too caught up in all the doom and gloom, let's circle back to something really fascinating about axolotls.
Okay.
Their neoteny.
Oh, yeah. Neoteny.
We touched on it earlier, but I want to dive in a little deeper. What does it actually mean, and why is it so important?
Okay, so neoteny is what makes axolotls truly unique. It's basically retaining their juvenile characteristics throughout their entire lives.
So they're kind of like forever young.
In a way, yes. It's like if humans never lost their baby teeth or always had that childlike ability to learn languages easily.
That's a cool way to think about it. So they're stuck in this perpetual state of youth. But what's the evolutionary advantage of that? Like, why is that beneficial?
Well, for one thing, it allows them to thrive in their aquatic environment.
Okay, right. Water is their thing.
Exactly. Those external gills, they're perfect for breathing underwater. And because they don't go through metamorphosis...
You never have to leave the water.
Exactly. Yeah. They're perfectly adapted to that watery world.
So it's not just about being cute. It's a survival strategy.
It is. A very effective one.
And I know neoteny is also linked to their regenerative abilities, right?
All right. Yes. It's thought that those juvenile traits somehow allow them to maintain a higher concentration of stem cells.
Okay, throughout their whole lives.
Throughout their lives, which is what fuels that incredible regeneration.
So it's like they've got the secret to eternal youth, but with a scientific twist.
You could say that.
And scientists are studying them, right? To see if we can, like, unlock those secrets for ourselves.
Absolutely. Neoteny has huge research potential. I mean, imagine if we could understand how they regenerate. We might be able to develop new therapies for human injuries, diseases.
Yeah.
It's a long shot, of course, but the possibilities are incredible.
It's amazing to think that these little creatures could hold the key to some of the biggest mysteries in biology and medicine. It's pretty humbling.
It is. It really is.
But for now, let's focus on their survival in the wild. I mean, before we wrap up, I'm curious, are you optimistic about their future? Pessimistic? Somewhere in between?
I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic. The challenges are huge.
Yeah.
But so is the passion of the people working to protect them.
That's a good point. There's a lot of dedication out there.
There is.
It's a good reminder that even when things seem really tough, there's always hope, right?
Always.
And that hope comes from our actions.
Yeah.
Our willingness to fight for these creatures.
Yeah.
For their future. So we'll be back in a moment for some final thoughts on the axolotl and why their story is so important to us all.
Okay, we're back, ready to wrap up our axolotl deep dive.
Lots to think about.
I know. We've talked about their superpowers, their struggles.
Right.
The amazing people fighting for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's really stuck with me is this...
What's that?
This creature that can rebuild itself, like, inside and out.
Amazing ability, really.
But it's vulnerable to the environment, you know?
It's a strange thing, isn't it? Like, this paradox. They have these incredible abilities.
Yeah.
But they're still so dependent on us.
Right, exactly. It shows how connected everything is, I guess. Everything's connected. We can't just isolate them and say, oh, they'll be fine. They've got superpowers. It doesn't work that way.
Definitely not. So I'm curious, you know, we've talked about conservation efforts.
Right.
But are there any, like, bigger changes happening, like, policy-wise,
right,
to help protect them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In Mexico, there's a growing awareness of the need to protect Xochimilco.
Okay, good.
Not just for axolotls, but for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, it's bigger than just one species.
Exactly. Right. We're seeing stricter regulations on pollution, efforts to promote sustainable agriculture, even initiatives to bring back traditional farming practices.
Oh, really? Traditional practices?
Yeah, the ones that were actually more in tune with nature.
That's really interesting. It's not just science and conservation. It's also about, like, cultural shifts.
It is, reconnecting with ways of living that respect the environment.
Yeah, that's amazing. But even with all that, I mean, do you think we might still lose them in the wild? Is that a real possibility?
It is a possibility, unfortunately. We can't ignore that. The threats are very real.
Yeah.
And time is not on their side. But I refuse to give up hope. You know? The more we learn about them, the more we realize how much they have to teach us.
Totally.
Not just about regeneration, but resilience, adaptation, the importance of biodiversity.
And that brings me to something I've been thinking about this whole time.
Mm.
We've focused a lot on their physical abilities, right?
Right.
But there's also something beautiful about them.
I agree.
This creature that's both fragile and strong.
Yes.
Facing extinction, but with this constant smile.
Pretty powerful.
It is. It makes you think, you know.
Yeah.
About our own place in the world.
It does. It really does. Their story is like a mirror reflecting our own relationship with nature.
Well, yeah.
It challenges us to ask some hard questions. How do we define progress? What are we willing to sacrifice? And ultimately, what kind of future do we want? Not just for ourselves, but for all the creatures out there.
Wow. Those are big questions.
They are. But they're important ones.
They are. Well, on that note, I want to thank you all, our listeners, for joining us on this journey into the world of axolotls. It's been amazing. I hope you've come away with a new appreciation for these incredible creatures and for the urgent need to protect them.
I hope so, too. Remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand, the better we can fight for them.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Ah!
So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep sharing their story. Because who knows, maybe someday, thanks to them, thanks to the secrets they hold, we'll all be smiling as bright and regenerating as effortlessly as the axolotl.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.